broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, live on the radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Hope you're all absolutely doing fantastic. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and we're absolutely convinced that the checks and balances put in place by the Founding Fathers, one of the brilliant solutions for peaceful restoration. We reject revolution, but stand for the most peaceful restoration we can possibly create for the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. I'm on the road in California, taking care of business, having a great time, and got a lot of updates on California for all of you. We'll talk about that as the broadcast unfolds today. I'm on the road, on the phone. Kurt Crosby's in studio. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. So we were not live Saturday or Monday. We were going to be live on Tuesday, but I went to Disneyland on Monday. A 16-hour event, and just had to take a break for Tuesday as well. That's why the Tuesday broadcast was a rebroadcast of a previous show as well. But we're live today. We'll be live for several more days. I'll be on the road. And good things are happening left and right across the country, but also bad things are happening across the country left and right. We'll get into it all as the broadcast unfolds. Hour one will be Sam and Rich, or Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby. Hour two today will add Becky Akers to the mix, so that ought to be a lot of fun. And let's start out with the most important critical topic, Kurt. Michael Connelly, a well-known constitutionalist. He was a talk show host. He was an author of multiple books. He was the attorney for the U.S. Justice Foundation. He was an all-around great guy and an incredible supporter of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Did some attorney work for us for free. Or pro bono is the way they call it in the business. Just a wonderful gentleman. Anyway, he passed away at his home in Texas with a fight with cancer. And our prayers are with him and his family. I received the announcement today. So a big shout out to Michael Lee for his well-lived life, for his acts of kindness to us on Liberty Roundtable Live and on at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Prayers go out to his family, and I'm sure they'll miss him. He died at 70 years old, just couldn't beat a bout of cancer. So our prayers are with the family there. Any comments on Michael Connelly, Kurt? He used to join us monthly on the show.
Yeah, I remember, and, you know, I mean, it's a great example of a life well-lived, a man that, you know, gave, I don't know if you'd say all for his country, but he gave very, very much. He gave, well, God, family, country, you know, would be his, basically his moniker, you know, that kind of thing. You know, his family calls him a scoutmaster. You know, the days of old, a scoutmaster, I mean, that's saying a lot. Apparently he had, that in the Baton Rouge area there, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, he started one of the largest troops there. He led his troop, and he inspired many lives, they say, including his own sons and over 50 scouts to obtain Eagle Scout. You know, that's, I mean, that along with his work with his family, his daughters, his wife, you know, that kind of thing, you know, that's great stuff. Now, I agree he wrote a number of books, but, you know, in the end, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, you know, you're working your family, you're working with those good people around you. That's what you'll be known by, and what
Amen
you'll
to that.
Feel.
Speaking of God, family, and country, he was well known for his relationship with God. He was a well-known Christian as well, Kurt. He spent time with the scouts that had religious affiliations as well. He spent time with his daughter and wife and family and things like that, and certainly served his country. He was a veteran also, so the guy was just an all-around, you know, great person doing a great job. We just need more of us, Kurt.
Yeah, you can never have too many of those kind of guys, you know, at least in my opinion.
Amen to that. Now, one last point on Michael Connelly that's worth noting as well. Yes, he's passed away, but I like to say, you know, a lot of people say, who aren't Christian or don't believe in gospel topics, they say, well, he's gone, his candle's out. And I disagree with that. You know, there's a book I used to read, it's a Christmas story, and it talked about somebody passed away, and they used this term that I really loved. They said, they're not gone, they've just gone on ahead. And I really like that term. I do believe Michael Connelly has just gone on ahead, and he's with his God, and that he's able to help us fight for the sacred cause of liberty and to promote God, family, and country on the earth. From the other side, we believe he's in the spirit world, and he's living and loving and spending time with family members and his parents and grandparents and so on and through his lineage. But I like to look at it, he's not gone, but he is gone on ahead, Kurt. Any comment on that? It's a great term in my life.
Yeah, it's a great way to say it. I, at least in my opinion, one of the other great ways is I remember hearing a man I very much, admire and feel as a leader. In his case, he said that his wife died, you know, a few years back. He said she was called home. And in my opinion, that's also another great way to think about it and remember.
Yeah, that's right. Home to the God that made you, or God that created you, return home. And, you know, this life is a part of our eternal lives, but it's temporary in nature, and we're here to get a body. We're here to make wonderful choices. We're here to make sure we learn to choose the right and follow God's laws and things like that. And then, hey, you know, we pass away, we go on ahead and return home. And anyway, we bring this up all as a tribute to Michael Connelly, our dear friend. Not only was he attorney to help out the CSPOA, Kurt, not only was he an incredible talk show host and author in his own right, not only was he an Eagle Scout and a veteran and a family man and all the things that we talk about, but one of the cool things about Michael Connelly is he was one of the writers for Liberty News Daily back in the day as well. The guy was just talented, Kurt.
Yeah, he spent his, at least in my opinion, I suppose he never tied many flies and, you know, did things like that. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to putting the moniker of a patriot, a Christian patriot, you can probably put that on his... little sticker.
Amen to that. All right, so that's the recap of kind of what's happened this morning that I think is critical to talk about. Last show, which was last Friday's broadcast, by the way, we had Richard Mack on with us a little bit. We talked to our buddy Terry Colafrancesco, a friend of Medjugorje. MEJ.com is his website. We talked a little bit about his books, his travels. We talked about the prophecies about the future of the church. The church will go through a refining process, and people will fall away from the church. And we compared it to the biblical story about how they got the water out of the river and drank. They did so either with their hands or they flopped down like a dog and drank. And anyway, very interesting comparisons of some prophecies that he had to speak of. And, you know, prophecy is coming to pass in our day. As well, you know, the Bible talks about what the ten tribes of Israel that are lost, Kurt, and they will be found. And so there's a lot of prophecy that we talked about on Friday, and that just kind of continues on as we see prophecy continuing to unfold. So that's kind of an update on that, Kurt. Any comment on Terry?
Yeah. Terry, you know, he's a great leader and, certainly fun guest. That's one of the things we enjoy the most, ladies and gentlemen, about our, I guess you could say, our opportunity to be here on the broadcast is that we do have the privilege of listening to these guests that we bring you and these individuals who, whether it's Mike O'Connelly or Terry, or, you know, Sheriff Mack, so many others, we learned from them, and we hope you view this as a, well, informative opportunity, and that's why we appreciate your patronage, your support.
Yeah, you got that right. Another sad piece of news. Elections were yesterday. I guess some primary elections and things like that across the country. Kurt can hopefully pull up a couple of details of that, and we'll dig into that after the pause. But Richard Mack and his bid for undersheriff, if you will, the sheriff there, I guess, his name is Rod Saint in New Mexico that we are backing. As far as I understand, we don't have the numbers yet, but he did not do too well. Mr. Black won. And so there you go. Kind of a bummer, Kurt.
Yeah, so, ladies and gentlemen, although, we would like to paint things in a prettier picture, but we give it to you the way it is. And one of the things that we're grateful for is men that go after I guess you could say, go after Moby Dick in a rowboat, and they take the tartar sauce with them. With Sheriff Mack and Rod Saint, great team and a great example of the kind of sheriff that America would need.
Amen to that. Hang tight. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Live Sandwich with Kurt Crosby on your radio. My travels in California and details coming up in a second on your radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back to the live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on the road, Kurt Crosby in the studio. That's turnabout fair play. Usually Kurt's on the road, I'm in studio. But today I'm on the road, Kurt is in studio. We are live, and sorry for the last couple of days. We've been on a break. I went to California. We'll tell you about that coming up in just a second. But a couple of sad things today. Our buddy Michael Connelly passed away, patriot and friend, no doubt about it, through and through. Our prayers are with his family. And then Richard Mack and Mr. Rod Saint lost their election. So that's kind of a bummer. One of the things to note, Richard Mack's had a string of losses lately, Kurt. He ran for, congressman in Texas? And he ran for another office in Arizona, congressman in Arizona, ran with Rod on this. And so there's been a few devastating losses for the good sheriff.
Yeah, good point. The quickest thing that comes to mind for me is I think there was a man that lost a lot of times and then won in the end, and that was Abraham Lincoln. So, you know, the one thing that I feel like when you participate in these, and by the way, I could tell you a long line of losses myself, in my opinion, it's part of participating in our system, and that is, I used to think you're politically active if you put a sign, or if you basically went and voted and they put a sticker on you. Then maybe the step up was you put a sign in your lawn, you know. And yet I would say that Sheriff Mack and so many others that we know, they're quite a bit stepped up from that, participating in this, the cause of freedom.
Yeah, you got that right. And remember, I've always said this. If you want to get elected, it takes a little bit of time, a little bit of money, and a little bit of foot soldiers. And I guess just not enough money and foot soldiers for those guys in this case, Kurt. Tragic, but true. But I've always also mentioned there's two reasons to run for office. One reason is to get elected, obviously, to try to make sure that we have good, honest constitutionalists, good, honest, wise men and women inside the system to make sure that we choose constitutional choices. And that's an important piece. You know, you never want to really go in thinking I'm going to be a loser. But you do want to go in hoping to win, and that's certainly important. But no less important is this idea that says, hey, I'm going to run for educational purposes. I know that I may not win in the traditional sense. I may not get elected. But I do know that one of the things that I can do would be I'm going to provide education along the whole election cycle. And what I mean by education, I'm going to bring up the talking points that need to be brought up. I'm going to expose people's records for what they really are. In other words, we're going to get the truth out about people and what they, you know, sometimes if they say or do different things, sometimes they say something and do another kind of an idea. Or sometimes it's just an education of bringing us back to our founders, to the traditions of America, somebody to stand on moral principles, somebody to articulate the founding vision, the founding fathers' vision on things. And oftentimes it's about that education, and that's why I tell people a lot of times, don't run on the Republican ticket because you'll lose right at the primary and you're done. You know, what you want to do is you want to run on a third-party ticket, and you want to be that consummate outsider that continues to kind of dog the campaigns of the other candidates who aren't towing the line, who aren't leveling with the people, who aren't as candid and as open and fresh and forthright as they ought to be. And a lot of times we act as a it's kind of like how we are in the media, Kurt. Some would say, well, Sam, your talk show is not that big, or Kurt, your talk show is not that big. You guys don't even matter. And my response is, we may not get the limelight, but we're not after the limelight. What we're after is to move the needle towards the sacred cause of liberty. And it's amazing how we oftentimes move the needle much more than we get credit for. And that's okay with me. I'm not after the credit. But so Ron Paul is a great example. When he ran in 2008 and 2012 for the presidencies, you know, he made a big difference. He brought the Federal Reserve up for discussion. He brought the educational issues up about how expensive education is. Now we need to move to private sector solutions. He brought up auditing and ending the Federal Reserve, creator of fake money in America, and then we had a return to honest currency, gold and silver. You know, he really brought up a lot of, in my opinion, founding father signature issues is what I would call them. Founding father signature issues, and those issues would not have been even discussed. And that option would not even have been introduced to the American people if it wasn't like a guy named Ron Paul running for president. And so even though Ron didn't win, I don't even know what percent of the vote he got, 5-10%, depending on the state, kind of an idea. It wasn't even big from that point of view. But when it comes to the education, when it comes to holding the other candidates accountable, when it comes to really moving the needle towards liberty and bringing up these topics and things like that, I think it's critical to bring up and to hold others to account for some of these topics. You know, Ron Paul brought up the idea of we need to completely eliminate certain government agencies. He even listed some of the agencies that he would abolish. I think Ron Paul back in the day came up with like 5 of them, Kurt. And it actually became that other candidates started saying, yeah, I would get rid of this agency and that agency. And one talked about it, but wasn't genuine in it. It was a classic, you know, in my opinion, neocon, Republican, in name only, a rhino kind of a guy, too, where he basically literally forgot the agencies that he would abolish. And so, you know, he's up on the debate stage trying to defend his position that I'm going to get rid of government agencies, too. And then he forgot which ones, and Ron Paul kind of mocked him. And he's like, let me help you. I'm the one that's really getting rid of agencies. You're just talking about it in the proof read. You don't even remember what you were going to do. You forgot before you even got elected. But you move the needle towards these discussion points as the key, Kurt, and you really highlight these things. Just imagine, I mean, how many people have ran for office who have made it to the national debate stage for president of the United States, who literally said, I'm going to shut down some unconstitutional government agencies and get rid of them entirely. And then you had copycats on stage talking about doing the same thing. Some of them weren't genuine, but they were forced to talk about it. No one can say that didn't move the needle on multiple topics that are, in my opinion, fundamental to the principles of a republic, that are critical. Ron Paul talked about pro-life a lot. Ron Paul talked about this idea that healthcare is not a governmental right or a governmental responsibility, that we could solve this in the private sector. And hey, he was a physician, so he had credibility in that space. And I bring all that up, Kurt, to say that's the reason that you run for office. Yeah, we want to get elected, sure. I'm not going to pretend that we don't, that a loss is awesome or anything. But there's a secondary, and I submit oftentimes equal or even a more valuable reason to run. And that's so that these things can kind of be discussed and focused on. The next people get introduced to these topics and to these efforts by good, honest people and to call account. That's one of the critical reasons, and that's why I always believe running on a third party is great, because you get all election season long. You don't get chopped off at the knees that are a primary, where they go, almost, you were so close. Hey, I know that I'm not going to be close. I know that I'm not going to win. I don't have the infrastructure on the ground. I don't have the money. I don't have the foot soldiers. But I can provide an education all election season long, and I can provide a forced accounting for some of these other candidates to answer for things, to discuss things that they normally would not even think of discussing. So any comments on that, Kurt? I think that's a critical reason to run, that's just as valid as the original one.
Sometimes, well, I agree. And Sam, and you know, I mean, I've done that for a long time, and I don't, on the other hand, say that a guy like Lowell Nelson, who's a regular guest of ours, who is, you know, continues his work in the Republican Party, I don't mean that he's not doing good work, because the exposure he does and the coverage with the Republican Party people is very valuable. Scott Bradley even was doing that kind of thing for a number of years on the State Central Committee of the Republican Party. And I mean, I used to be an election judge myself for the Republican Party. I mean, there's just a number of ways to work at it. You just got to find the ways you feel that you can put your, two cents in, I guess you could say, and participate and try to make things a little better, not only for you, but everybody around you, your grandchildren, et cetera. You know, that's what we do.
Yeah, and I don't mean to say that working within the party, and I also don't mean to say, that getting elected is a bad thing. Sure, we want people to work within the parties that are there to influence them for good. Sure, we do want people to get elected, because that's how you make a difference from the inside. We're just trying to tell you, when things don't work out like you hope, that all is not lost. There's a valuable reason to still do what you've done. I look at Ron Paul's bid for Congress as tremendous wins personally, even though he did not win. Like I said, we brought all those issues to the table. He learned the first go-round that he needed a better infrastructure on the ground, so they built Campaign for Liberty, folks like Lowell all across the country that are making a big difference. That's what I'm talking about, a little bit of foot soldiers, a little bit of money. And, you know, they've done more and more of those things, and that's how we learn, and that's how we put kind of a mechanism in place to make it better.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. It's Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. By the way, did you know this half hour is brought to you by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door? Tastes phenomenal. Get a hold of Kirk to learn more. Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. And if you happen to be running for office or have a need for Patriot printing, ask Kurt about his incredible printing rates. He can print your Patriot documents to help the sacred cause of liberty for you. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, 801-669-2211. And make life a little sweeter. Get a taste of Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. And then ask about Patriot Printing to help you. It's just our way of making a difference in your efforts to promote the sacred cause of liberty. All right, Kurt, I want to move to another topic. Well, but I guess before we do that, do you have anything more on any of these elections across the country?
You know, from what I saw, Sam, they were, you know, somebody's going to look a little good here and a little bit there. There's nothing that I saw was really eye-opening, if you will. A few different things. Of course, the Democrats are going to spin it their way. Here's some headlines from Drudge on it. Primaries, live updates, California showdown, Dems on track to advance in key races for House control. 118,522 voters accidentally left off Los Angeles rosters. That's right. Alabama GOP lawmaker who disavowed Trump forced into primary runoff. You've got what Drudge says is the Dems' great hope. I guess the guy's, you know, let's see, he's in California. I think it's Gavin, if I understand, Gavin Newsom. They say he grabs an early lead in the California governor's race there. At least I'm looking at Breitbart to see what they have as the headlines.
Yeah, but one of the big headlines that I saw, Kurt, is that the Democrats were trying really hard. They were hoping this was going to be kind of a referendum on Trump or a referendum on Republican ideologies and stuff like that. They were hoping this was going to be kind of the liftoff or launch for their takeover in 2020. Or for 2018, or for whatever. And as far as I understand, they're calling it the big fizzle, Kurt.
Yeah, that's probably a good headline for that.
The big fizzle is what it's kind of being called. And
instead of sizzle, it's a fizzle.
Democrats have done okay, but it hasn't been anything substantial that they would hope for. They were hoping for basically a big old sweep going on. They first, back in the day, meaning after Trump got elected, thought they were going to really sweep the Senate and the House. Now they're saying they'll be lucky even if they get the House turned.
Yeah, I really don't see that happening. And I don't mean that I'm Mr. Pro-Republican because, you know, if you got guys like McConnell and Ryan there, at least in my opinion, you got the insiders, the kingmen that basically control things. I'm a whole lot more of a Rand Paul kind of guy, and you sure wish we could get a whole bunch more of them in there to, run things like they ought to be run.
Yeah, and if we're talking about the House, we're looking at guys like Raul Labrador of Idaho. He's not perfect, but he does a pretty good job. We'd be looking at guys like Justin Amash, again, does a pretty good job. We'd be looking at our buddy Steve, what's his last name, Kurt?
King, Steve King.
Yeah, Steve King, you know, again, none of these people vote perfectly, but they're better than the majority by far. All right, anything else on that, Kurt?
Not that I can see, Sam.
All right, there's going to be a running theme here between today and next hour a little bit. We're going to talk about my experiences in Disneyland in California next hour. Becky Akers is going to join us. We'll compare that to the laws of California and New York. We'll talk about the, what do you call them, the left and the left coast, Kurt, there.
Yeah.
Because they're so left on both sides of the coasts of America that it's hard to say one's the right side and the other's the left side if you're looking at a map because they're both, you know, swing so left. We'll talk about that next hour in more detail. We'll talk about my Disneyland experiences. We'll talk about some experiences and some details in California that are just shocking. And we'll get Becky Akers' take on it. She's a well-known, they call her an anarchist. She calls herself that, but it's different than you think. Anarchy in her mind is we just don't need government to do everything. We can do it in the private sector. That doesn't mean she would have true, you know, mayhem or anything of the sort. And so kind of an interesting twist. And we have Ron because her perspective is so unique and so different. And it really kind of paints a picture that just because you're not for government doing everything, that doesn't mean that you want, you know, things to go to heck in a handbasket. That doesn't mean that you want turmoil in the nation or to reject everything that's good. It's just a different perspective. Excuse me. It's a different perspective on what you believe the answers to be and how to go about them, right? And Becky has a very fresh view that I find nice. She's a very well-known author, well-known Christian. You know, she doesn't want destruction in the land or confusion. That's what you normally think of when you think of an anarchist. In her case, she's just simply saying, look, we don't need government by force to do all this stuff. And frankly, I don't go as far as she does. I believe in the proper role of limited constitutional government. But it is interesting to hear her perspective, and it is hard to argue with many of her points. And so we bring it on because it's a fresh, unique view to the roundtable. And our goal is to get as many fresh, unique views as we possibly can to the table for discussion. That's what the roundtable is all about. Anyway, all right. Well, we'll get to that next hour, Kurt. But in the meantime, there's a new headline I thought I'd bring up to you, Kurt. It's in the technical realm. And the headline says, and it's from Russia Today. The headline says, new AI. That stands for artificial intelligence or new software programs. New AI can tell the second that a society or a protest or whatever you want to call it, an event, is going to go violent, Kurt. So they can watch Twitter now, they claim, with this artificial intelligence program, and they can watch the tweets that are being sent out from a given venue. Let's say a rally. Let's say a concert. Let's say a political event. Let's say a protest. Let's say whatever it be, right? And they say that if they watch the tweets, they can tell you from the tweets what posts, and they can know when it's going to go violent based on that. You want to respond to that, Kurt?
Well, so you're saying that the artificial intelligence guys are now basically saying they can track how things are going to go in a particular area based on the tweets. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I believe it's true exactly. I'll give you my take on it in just a minute. I'm just telling you that they're claiming is that, hey, they've got artificial intelligence now. They can monitor a Twitter. And on monitoring Twitter, they can tell you just before something's going to go violent in a venue based on the posts that they're seeing. What do you think of that? Do you believe it?
Well, you know, the one thing that I would say is that's all based on the info that it's getting, of course, you know. And if it has, let's say, you know, that in a particular area you got 1% of the people that tweet, and those tweets have truth in them, it might be true of what's going on. But on the other hand, many times in the world of social media, if you will, things aren't really the way they're, well, promoted or whatever in the social media world.
But here's my take on this story. I believe that there's a lot of percentage games we're playing here, Kurt. In other words, hey, you can also, Kurt, if you watch a venue or an outdoor event or an event of some kind, and you see how people are acting, and if you see alcohol flowing, you see anger and fist fights, and you know, you can pretty much predict when it's going to go bad as well. It doesn't mean that you know it's going to go bad, but you can kind of get a pretty good sense that, hey, this is not going the right way, and this could be, well, hey, all someone's got to do is pour gasoline on that fire, and instantly it can go bad. It's that kind of a discussion a little bit. I believe they have a pretty good success rate of being able to do exactly what they say they're going to do through artificial intelligence, Kurt. You can watch the words that are used, and that will tell you a lot. You can literally see the phrases, the frequencies of the tweets. There's all kinds of factors that, when added together, paint a picture. And that's all that's being done, whether you're sitting there physically, I don't know why I use this term ringside, but you can see that it's about to escalate. And they're doing the same thing on Twitter. The frequency of the tweets, how many people are tweeting, the words that are being used in the tweets, the anger, the anger.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio. Kirk Crosby in the studio. Sorry about those breaks, ladies and gentlemen. I just can't hear the music well enough. It's all my fault. The board op's doing a great job, and Kirk's doing a great job, and I'm just blowing the breaks, ladies and gentlemen. So just leave it to me to tank the broadcast. I apologize for that. Thanks for your understanding and patience from the road. It's hard to hear on a phone line oftentimes, but hey, we'll get through it and do the very best we can. So we're talking about this idea.
You know, the one thing nice about that, Sam, is that then you, for example, you know about what the guests occasionally have to experience. And so then, you know, when you put yourself in that spot, then you understand their well, what's happening in their world. And the other thing I was thinking that might be kind of interesting at this segment of the broadcast, we rarely are lucky enough to have Sam's oldest daughter, Nicole, with us. Sam usually is the broadcaster and the board operator and everything like that. Well, Nicole happens to be with us. She's the, as I mentioned, Sam and Julie's oldest daughter. She's also, somebody I remember way back when I first met them. And I don't know if Nicole's able to be with us, if she could push a button or two, but how old were you when we first met Nicole? I mean, were you like 3 or something like that? I mean, I just remember it was a number of years ago. This would have been 92. I don't know how old you are exactly. I just know that, you know, you've been around for a while, and now you're a grown woman, and here you are on the broadcast. I was just wondering if
Nicole can't go on the air, though, because it takes a little bit of engineering work to make that all happen. But, yeah, she's an adult. She's married. She's 25, and she does a great job, but she's filling in while I'm on vacation.
Yeah, and I remember thinking about...
Now you're telling everybody that I blow all the brakes and that I'm old.
No. In this case, you can only do so much. Even Sam has limitations, ladies and gentlemen. What I think is kind of fun to think about Nicole and her efforts, and over these years, I was just thinking about how she has, grown along with us, and now she's still helping out, pushing buttons, doing what her dad taught her. She does a great work there, and it's just, so you know, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit more of how the whole broadcast works and the behind the scenes massive dollars that are included or involved in putting these things together. Seriously, we appreciate all your participation, whether you put in $1 a month, $100 a month, whatever it is. We promise to use it carefully as we move forward to do the best we can in this great cause of liberty.
Amen to that. And I just wanted to point out, the reason I bring it up, I don't want people thinking, hey, that the person when I'm out of town taking care of business is blowing the brakes. It's actually me, not them. They're doing their best to stop me from ruining things, you know. But, hey, I'm out of control as it is and do the best that I can. But it's true, and we're grateful for her help and her involvement, that's for sure. speaking of this artificial intelligence, the Russian Today saying that, hey, artificial intelligence can be applied to Twitter. They can literally tell you the second that they protest or an event is going to go violent from the tweet. And I believe they can do it, Kurt. I don't believe they can do it 100% of the time, but I think they got a pretty dang good accuracy rate. And I gave you a little bit of the ideas of how they do it. You know, you just think about you doing that personally when you're at a football game or a basketball game, and you're like, uh-oh, this isn't going to go well. So-and-so is jawing at the ref, and oh my goodness, a parent just got involved defending their kid, and this isn't going to go good. And then I bet, and boom, someone throws a punch, and you can kind of predict it and see the escalation there. They're doing the same thing on Twitter, but what they're doing is they're watching the tone of the tweets. They're watching the exclamation points, how fast and furious the tweets go, the anger in the tweets, and they're able to kind of produce a trend line, if you will, of, hey, when is this thing going to go crazy? And they get kind of a baseline, and they watch the agitation. It's really a similar idea of you doing it ringside, but they do it digitally with this new technology, this AI or, you know, artificial intelligence kind of stuff. I do believe they can do it with a great degree of accuracy, and I don't have any problem with it being done. As long as, and this is the big as long as part, as long as they don't use it to become the thought police. In other words, I get that you want to be ready if something goes wrong, for sure. But you can't take action before any crimes or any violence or any has been committed. And they're going to try to talk people into thinking it's okay to do something ahead of time to stop these bad things from occurring. The problem is, at some point, you know, you cannot prosecute someone for the thoughts that they have, for their conscience. If somebody believes something contrary to what you believe, you know what, that's not a time to act. It's only if action that is illegal is taken that I believe that there's an opportunity to do something. So I don't have any problem with police or law enforcement or whatever other using this kind of technology. Because I think it's okay to say, look, this is a venue that we know could go wrong. We're seeing the escalation here. Let's make sure that we're prepared to restore peace to an area. I get that. I'm okay with that. But when you start to take that to the next level and become the thought police, you better watch out. You better not cry, because I'm telling you why. It's because we're allowing this kind of understanding to replace freedom. Okay? A man is innocent until proven guilty. And he's especially innocent if he hasn't even taken the action that you think he might take yet. And so we need to be very, very, very careful on that front, Kurt. Wanted to cover that real quick. Any other final comments before I move to Dinesh D'Souza, Kurt?
No, that's fine.
All right. Dinesh D'Souza got pardoned, right, Kurt?
Yes, he did. President Trump has moved forward with another pardon, and that's one of them, Dinesh D'Souza. And if you don't know who he is, ladies and gentlemen, he you know, is a little bit more, I guess you could say, mainstream kind of guy than we are. But he, you know, has participated in the political process. You know, and in his case, found himself, you know, upsetting Barack Obama. And so he spent a little time in the slammer. And, you know, that now, for example, he's been pardoned by President Trump, you know.
Now, I guess his, I don't know what you want to call it, but his offense is the best way to describe it. What he went to jail for, Kurt, was that he donated a little bit too much to a campaign, or what happened there? Do you have a handle on that?
You know, I was just trying to look it up because, you know, there's all these little rules that they've got, you know, that's supposed to make it so that, hey, no shenanigans go on. And yet, in my opinion, it's kind of like the tax laws, you know, supposed to make it so it's fair and equal to everybody. And all it really means is, hey, the big boys with the big money and the insider connections, they're the ones who can move forward. But in his case,
I'll give you an example to make this point, Kurt. This guy basically donated a little bit too much to a campaign or whatever else. They literally prosecuted him, tossed him in the clink for it. I believe he was wrongfully dealt with, as does Donald Trump. But who made a big old bunch of donations to campaigns that got caught and said they're going to keep doing it, Kurt? Who was that just recently?
Yeah, as far as I know, that was Roseanne, if I remember right. you know, but
okay, so, you know, you got Roseanne making illegal contributions and saying, hey, not only was it illegal, but I don't care, I'm going to keep doing it. And, well, could that have been, what are you talking about, Roseanne Barker?
Yeah, that's the way I remember.
And then isn't this, this the same lady that got taken down from her show because she's supposedly a racist now, Kurt?
Well, here's what she's done, Sam, is she went from being a, you know, kind of like the insider cool girl in the Hollywood world to step into the Trump world. And so she, you know, basically merited that kind of, I guess you could say, treatment. And, you know, she's gone. On the Dinesh D'Souza thing, basically President Trump announced he will pardon the filmmaker, Dinesh D'Souza. He was convicted of breaking campaign finance laws back in 2014, and going to give a full pardon, and he was treated very unfairly. This is what President Trump tweeted, very unfairly by our government. I guess in 2014, D'Souza pleaded guilty after reimbursing two straw donors. That didn't mean they gave him straws, but they contributed to Wendy Long's 2012 campaign for the U.S. Senate. The guy's name is Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, who was fired by President Trump, released a statement of the conviction. Dinesh D'Souza attempted to illegally contribute over $10,000 to a Senate campaign, willfully undermining the integrity of the campaign finance process, this guy wrote. And I'm like, man, you know, this stuff just stinks to high heaven. But, you know, I agree that...
it's all about, Kurt, if you know how to use the right parameters, if you know how to bundle, you can do it all day long. The problem is he just didn't do it in the right governmental manipulated controlled way, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah, or he just didn't have the right buddy inside there in the attorney's office that was going to give him a wink and a nod like they do with Hillary and Bill and so many others. Right, Sam?
And Roseanne.
That's right. Good point.
Because I find it fascinating about Roseanne, the big discussion is she's a racist. The big discussion isn't that she broke campaign finance laws, right, Kurt?
Yeah, good point.
Isn't it interesting how one comes on the heels of the other? It's like Bill Clinton's involved in high crimes and misdemeanors, and then they're like, oh, my goodness, he was with a girl. And now it's Roseanne, hey, she broke finance laws, but oh, now we're just going to drop her from her show and eclipse that discussion with she's a racist discussion or something else, right?
Yep, good point. By the way, this is the fifth pardon of the Trump presidency. So bring on many more.
Well, and I got to commend, I got to commend Donald Trump for some of his pardons as well. Some of them, Scooter Libby and others, are a little bit interesting inside kind of people. But when it comes to Dinesh and things like that, I don't believe he's done wrong. I believe that we need to kind of change some of our finance laws, too. Controlling where you put your money is kind of an issue, especially when you reward the outsiders for bundling and doing it in the, you know, government-preferred way. It's kind of like how I can't get a trust to control my assets and secure things. I'll just get busted. They'll break my trust and say I'm trying to violate tax laws and they'll play some game against me. But the insiders can have trust all day long to run their affairs. There's no problem. It's a similar scenario. And Kurt, it's just really they have the control and the ability to pick the winners and the losers.
That's right, Sam. If you can't hear the music, it's playing now, and so you better finish her up, Sam.
I heard it perfect, and thank you so much for the reminder, Kurt. Excellent work, ladies and gentlemen. Hour one of the can, hour two, Becky Akers joining us. We'll talk about out-of-control laws all over the place. We'll do it in seconds. By the way, LibertyRoundtable.com.